Tinha alguém aqui?
The scripture reading for today is Luke 15, verses 28 through 32. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
ルカによる福音書15章の28節から32節まで。すると兄は怒って家に入ろうともしなかった。 それで父が出てきて、いろいろなだめてみた。しかし兄は父にこう言った。ご覧なさい、長年の間私はお父さんに仕え戒めを破ったことは一度もありません。その私には友達と楽しめと言って小ヤギ一匹くださったことがありません。それなのに遊女に溺れて、 あなたの信頼を食い潰して帰ってきたこのあなたの息子のためには肥えた子牛をほふらせなさったのですか。父は彼に言った。お前はいつも私と一緒にいる。私のものは全部お前のものだ。だがお前の弟は死んでいたのが生き返ってきたのだ。いなくなっていたのが見つかったのだから 楽しんで喜ぶのは当然ではないか。Good
morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Toshio. Yeah, so last week I wasn't here. I hope you had a great time with Pastor Rob. And honestly, I actually missed you guys. So it is good to see you. I'm so glad to be here today. And I'm glad you can make it too. Today I want to talk about the Father's love, and specifically embracing the Father's love. But before that, let me pray for our time. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and fill this place. We ask, Lord, for your presence to fill this space, Lord, we're in. We ask, Holy Spirit, you would fill our hearts, and you would give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and revelation, Lord. Especially today, a revelation of your love. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Most of you know that the most important, perhaps, goal in our life is to learn to love God with all of our hearts, mind, strength, and soul. Jesus said that's the first and greatest commandment. And I think just as important as loving God and loving the Father is receiving God's love, receiving the love of the Father. Of course, this isn't new information for most of you. Most of you know that it is important to love God and to embrace God's love. But knowing something takes different forms. And I was reminded of that yesterday. Phil, he took me golfing for the first time yesterday. And I looked up YouTube how to swing a golf club, and Phil gave me pointers on how to hold a golf club and how to swing it, and he taught me everything he knew, basically. Phil said it isn't much, but it's infinitely more than I know. And so I knew how to swing a golf club. I went to go try it, and the first time I swung, I missed the ball and hit the grass really hard. And so It's important to know there's different types of knowing, and most of you may know, and I hope you know, that it is important to love God and to embrace God's love. We know this. But do you really know it? Just like knowing how to swing a golf club. Tiger Woods, he knows how to swing a golf club. He knows the mechanics of it, and he knows how to do it. And as Christians, sometimes we may know something that is important, but do we really know it? And a quick glance of, do we really know it? If we really know God's love, ask yourself this question. Do you feel celebrated? Is there a sense of self-worth that comes from God and not from what you do and what you own? Do you feel as if you're taken care of and taken care of in an abundance? You know, David said, in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table for me. And if it's God preparing the table, you know it's a great table. For those of you who did not recognize this passage, it comes from the prodigal son, which I'll read in a couple of minutes. But in the end, the father says to the older son, all I have is yours. Do we feel that way as Christians, as children of God? Do we feel as though all that God has is ours as well? Now, if you say yes to most of these and all of these, you know God's love. Praise God. Amen. And this is a great reminder. But for some of us who struggles with some of these, we may know the importance of God's love, but it may take a little bit more time to really, really know God's love. And today, I hope... as we hear the word of God, that His love would invade our soul and that we will not just know the importance of it, but truly know it. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want to read the entire story. It's a fairly long story, and it's a story most of you are familiar with, but I'd like to read it again anyways. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. This is called the parable of the lost son, or some of you know this as the prodigal son. Recently, there's a book out that I think is called The Prodigal Father, and that may be a better rendering of the story. Prodigal simply means extravagant. And although the son, the younger son, was extravagant and loose living, throughout the narrative, throughout the story, it is the father who is extravagantly loving. And that's what we want to focus on today. Let me read. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back and safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because of this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. Again, throughout this story, what is consistent is the father, his love, both for his younger son and his older son. And I want to take a look at the father's love towards the younger son first. And the first thing I notice is it's unconditional. God's love. Of course, for those of you who are very observant, we'll find that unconditional love is not found in the Bible. And some people might say, well, God's love isn't unconditional, or the Bible would say it. But for a lack of better terms, I would say God's love is unconditional. Meaning, it's not based on performance. The younger son, he squanders everything he has, his inheritance. You could call it an epic fail. But the father's love isn't based on the son's performance. I don't know. Have you guys been following the Olympics? Some of you, kind of. You know, I asked several people in this congregation if they saw the opening ceremony, and all of them said no. I was surprised. I wanted to talk about it with them. If you saw the opening, it was epic, wasn't it? It was such a marvelous opening ceremony. But as I was watching the opening ceremony, I couldn't help but wonder how many of those athletes excelled at what they did to find approval from their parents. You know, sometimes growing up, our parents aren't perfect, especially if you're Japanese American. No, just kidding. I'm sure all parents are, they lack something. And, you know, for me, I grew up with Japanese parents, and unlike my American friends, they lacked the ability to show emotion towards me. Unfortunately, I didn't really excel in anything to gain their approval. But some people, they do that. They excel in what they do to find that sense of self-worth, to find approval, especially approval of the father. In this story, the younger son did anything but excel. He failed miserably. He lost his inheritance in a very shameful way. But if you notice, as he comes home to the father with a prepared speech saying, you know, okay, father, I lost everything. I'm going to work my way up. I'm going to work to earn your trust. I'll start off as a slave and perhaps build my way up to become a son. But again, the father's love is unconditional. And it's not based on, I guess, mutuality. Junko showed me the Japanese word for this. It's not 相互関係. So 相互関係. Excuse me. You know, if you take a closer look at this story, the younger son asking for his inheritance basically means, "Father, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead so I could have money." And so definitely the son did not love the father more than the father loved the son. In fact, it was the opposite. The father loved the son so much, he gave the inheritance. The inheritance was blown. The son didn't go back thinking, "Oh, the father loves me." But in fact, he went back thinking, "I could earn his love." But the father, before the younger son could finish his prepared speech, cuts him off. And if you noticed, he gives him a robe, one of the finest robes, probably his own robe, giving him a sense of dignity, self-worth. He gives him a ring, probably signifying that the son has authority again. In antiquity, they didn't do so much signature, but they had a signet ring. Sort of like in Japan, they have those stamps. Hanko. And he gives the son slippers, perhaps signifying you are not a slave. Slaves did not wear sandals back then, but the son wore sandals. Again, the father's love is unconditional. It is also restorative. He did not have to work to be a son. Now let me ask you this. Do you feel that way? Some of us, we may feel like we have to work for the father's love. And it may be deeply rooted in our efforts to earn our own father's love. But God's love is not like that. I want to remind you that God's love is, for a lack of a better word, unconditional. He loves us so much. And it is expressed extravagantly. For me, this is hard for me to accept sometimes, but let me ask you, do you feel celebrated? Growing up, did you feel celebrated from your parents? Not when you were growing up. Thank you, Toshio. Yes. And I felt the same way too. I didn't feel celebrated too often. Although I was the youngest child and I was the most well-liked. I sometimes did not feel celebrated. But the Father's love celebrates. He dances over you, each and every one of you. Amen. The Father's love is unconditional. It is restorative. For some of you, you know this love. You have rebelled against the Father just like the younger son. You ran from the Father, and when you came back to Him, He celebrated you. You did not have to work to be a son, but all you had to do was receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and embrace the Father's love. I want to look now towards the father's love towards the older son. If you notice, the story shifts in verse 25. It says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called the other servant and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fat calf because he has his son back.'" Verse 28, the older brother, became angry and refused to go in. In this story, the father, you could just imagine him just celebrating, having a great time, eating great food, just rejoicing over his younger son or his youngest son coming home. But at the same time, in the back of his head, he's looking around for the older son and is not there. I don't know if If you've ever felt that way, you know, you're at a party and you're having a good time and you're always looking for that one person. Maybe that person you like, I don't know. And you notice he's not there. Well, the father was like that. He's at a party having a great time celebrating, but also in the back of his mind is like, where is my older son? Where's my oldest son? And he leaves the place of celebration, and another revelation of God's love, it is persistent. It is constantly pursuing us. Now for those of us who grew up in the church, we may feel like the older son. I've never disobeyed you. I've always done the right thing. For those of us who feel like that, sometimes bitterness and anger can arise if we're not living in the Father's love. But the Father's love is persistent. It pursues the older son. And it humbly is constantly pleading with us. Did you notice that? The father is pleading with the older son, come in, rejoice with me, your son is back. And it, again, a revelation of God's love. I remember a time when I used to pastor middle school kids, well, actually elementary school kids, third, fourth, and fifth graders. I used to pastor at a Korean church, and I really enjoyed my time there. But being in a Korean church, sometimes they do things differently than a Japanese church. They're louder. And one of my teachers, she was very Korean, sort of like a very traditional Japanese maybe man. But whenever the kids would act up, she would yell at them. And they would quiet down, you know. They were really scared of her. I was kind of scared of her. She would yell at them and they would quiet down. And one day the Lord spoke to me, and I felt like it's saying, you know, you got to teach these teachers how to discipline. She probably, growing up, was yelled at a lot, and that's all she knows, how to discipline kids. But the father doesn't discipline us like that, does he? He doesn't use force, he doesn't use intimidation, he doesn't use power a lot of times to speak to us. If you notice, in this story, the prodigal father, instead of saying, son, get into the party, he could have easily done that. And the son says, I never disobeyed. So he probably would have went to the party. Grudgingly, reluctantly. But the father doesn't use power again. Instead, he uses love. Back to my story. You know, the Lord was saying, you got to teach these teachers how to discipline. You know, if you yell at the kids, they're going to listen. But it's that same as if you had a gun and you pointed it at somebody and said, hey, listen up. And they'll listen. It's very effective. It works well. But that's not God's way. And so I told the teacher, hey, we can't do this anymore. You have to be more creative. If you're going to yell, make sure that's the last option. And She picked it up right away. I was very impressed. I'm sure it was the Holy Spirit working, but I was very impressed just how she used the kids' energy and turned it without yelling, was able to turn it towards God instead of, you know, them fearing before worship. And that's the Father's love for us. He could come with might and power and have us trembling with fear and awe, but instead, through His Son Jesus Christ, He is humbly pleading with us. All we have to do is embrace the Father's love. And the final revelation of the Father's love It is prodigal, meaning extravagant. In Japanese, 途方もなく. It is extravagant. It's extravagant in forgiveness, as we saw in the younger son's case, as well as the older son. The older son was bitter, angry, and very defiant at this moment. But the father's love is extravagant. Let me take a moment and ask, have you embraced the father's forgiveness? His extravagant forgiveness. You know, sometimes it's easy for us to ask God to forgive us, but have you embraced His forgiveness? Have you forgiven yourself? This older son, of course, in the context of this story, represents the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and so, you know, I would fall into that category. for me personally, it is sometimes hard to find God's extravagant forgiveness. It's sometimes easy to become like the older son. For most of us who grew up in the church and who belong to the church, it's easy to identify ourselves with the older son. Kind of burnt out, a little bit bitter, wishing we could take a break from church. You know, if you ever felt that way, I would encourage you to know God's extravagant love, to embrace it, to just receive it. And again, finally, God's love is extravagant in providing. If you look with me at verse 30 or 31. This is probably the greatest revelation of God's love here. Is, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. I got to be honest with you. These days I've been very stressed. I won't give you the details, but yes, I've been very stressed. And, you know, I have to remind myself to embrace the Father's love. Because when we embrace the Father's love, we realize the truth, which is this: we are sons and daughters of God. And as sons and daughters, we have access to heavenly resources. And I think this is what that means when, in this story where the Father says, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. And as I look at scriptures, as I look at scripture, Jesus lived in this reality, didn't he? There was never a time where Jesus felt like, oh, I didn't have enough. Man, I wish we had more bread. I wish we had more fish. There was never a time where Jesus said, oh, I hope I had more. He never lived in a time of just, I need more, God. He lived in the reality of the truth, in that everything God had was His. And Jesus is a perfect example of that. You know, and the disciples, they learned, didn't they, how to live in that reality of embracing the Father's love. It took them a while. It took them 3 years to be with Jesus to finally learn. But they learned. Hopefully it'll only take me 3 months to learn how to golf. But again, like just like golfing, it takes time to learn. And it takes time to learn how to receive and embrace the Father's love. But once we do, it's amazing. Just like, again, I'm going to use the golfing analogy. The rare time that I hit the ball, it felt really good. And it kept me going. In the hot sun, in the hot Tucson sun. And some of you feel that way. The rare times when you do embrace the Father's love, you know how good it feels. You know how good it tastes. The reality is, we can live in that daily. The Apostle Paul learned to live in that reality more than I believe anyone else. And I want to encourage you to live in that reality. I'm always with you. All I have is yours. Learn to embrace the Father's love, and you will learn to walk in that reality. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your extravagant love, Lord. And we know how important it is to love you and to receive your love. But Father, teach us, Lord. I just want to encourage you, as you have your eyes closed, just to ask the Father right now, just to simply say, Father, would you reveal your love to me? Yes, Father, we pray that you would reveal your love to us, even right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bring a greater revelation of God's love. We thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.